experience means a lot in this business. And I may even be more deadly than I was in the past because I'm a thinking man now.
Welcome to After the Bell. I am still Corey Graves. I am still joined by the voice of NXT 2.0, Vic Joseph, but this is a heavy hitting episode. We are less than 24 hours away from the Elimination Chamber airing live WWE Network on Peacock, a special start time of noon Eastern. Do not miss it because you will bear witness to an epic showdown over 2 years in the making. We have one half of that clash joining the show today. The man who will challenge the head of the table, Roman Reigns, for the Universal title at Elimination Chamber. A man who truly needs no introduction. He is a WWE Hall of Famer. He is Goldberg. Goldberg, welcome to the show, man.
Always an honor, my brother. Always an honor.
We appreciate your time, always. I know you got a lot on your plate getting ready to clash with the Tribal Chief. What does it feel like to have this matchup in front of you after it was supposed to go down 2 years ago at WrestleMania? Obviously, we know the story. COVID hit, plans changed, everything turned upside down, but now we are here. We are finally at that moment. What is going through Goldberg's mind?
A lot. You know, this match is not 2 years in the making. I think it's 10 years in the making. Ever since I came over to WWE, I've had my sights on Roman, whether he had the title or not. It's an ingrown rivalry between two college football players, or actually two colleges. You know, there's only one college I hate more than Georgia Tech, and it's the University of Florida. So anytime I can go against anybody that I would have gone against on the gridiron in any competition, especially one as hated as a Georgia Tech alumni from a Georgia Bulldog, that's huge. That's awesome, you know, to be able to have that opportunity. Now, I'd love to have had it done 10 years ago, but it is what it is. We get opportunities throughout our lives, and whenever this presented itself, I jumped at it.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
How has your preparation for this matchup varied from the times we've seen you recently against Drew McIntyre, against Bobby Lashley, which I want to talk to you more about in a few minutes? It hasn't been quite as long of a layoff since last time we saw Goldberg in a ring, but how's your preparation changed at this age and preparing for someone like a Roman Reigns, who isn't the same Roman that you would have faced 2 years ago? Roman, in the 2 years since the match was supposed to happen, has only grown more and more dominant, more and more confident, and really taken on the role as the Universal Champion in all facets of the job. You're a guy who has been world champion many times over. How is your preparation going to differ this year?
Well, I didn't get the lead time that I did going into the Lashley match. I was kind of behind the eight ball when I got the phone call, but those are nothing but excuses. So right now, I just have to use my time wisely. I mean, obviously, we have 24 hours before, you know, we go head to head. I just pray that my preparation, both physically and mentally, have been enough. I quite obviously train a lot differently than I used to. I don't do my Muay Thai training anymore because I don't want to hurt myself trying to hurt other people. it's different. It's just a different time in my life. I'm not benching 500 pounds, you know, every 2-3 days. I'm, you know, repping out 225 as many times as I can. The joints aren't what they used to be, but right here is the same. So, you know, you rely on the past, and hopefully I can bring it into the future, into the present.
Well, don't sell yourself short. Repping out 225 is still beast mode stuff. That's not normal human being activity.
Yeah, but you know, you know, it's all relative, man. It's all relative.
Sure.
So the training or your inability to do what you used to do affects you mentally. But you have to overcome that. You know, right now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. My number one job is to be there as a role model for my son. I'm trying to continue the things that I have done in the past so that he sees how to go about obstacles. I've been thrown a number of obstacles in my way throughout my life. And in real time, I can show him how to deal with them, hopefully.
I want to ask you, you mentioned keeping yourself mentally sharp and mentally strong. How do you go about that? In this day and age, training for athleticism and sports is now really, now it's not so much taboo to talk about mental well-being. And how important is that to you? And how do you keep yourself level at this point in your career?
Well, I'm really trying to put my finger on that. I'm trying to find the ability to do that. It's confidence. You know, I don't look at mirrors. I try not to look at the internet. I try to put myself back into the mindset that I did every football game. I try to use positive imagery. I spend a lot of time alone, and I just have to be able to turn into that Godzilla monstrous beast that I once was. And if I can bring him back for a short period of time, then that will be enough. But it's attaining that level of comfort you have with yourself, your position, and what's asked of you. And, you know, mentally, I think I'm there. Physically, we shall see.
It's interesting. If you were once upon a time Godzilla, now it sounds more like Bruce Banner, Incredible Hulk sort of situation.
Yeah.
We got to piss Goldberg off.
Yeah, I have to use my head a little bit more. I have to be realistic. I can't be headbutting things, walking to the ring and knocking myself out. So, you know, you learn from your past mistakes and you hope that it's enough to bring to the table to be able to defeat a dominant champion like Roman.
Oh, you talk about Roman Reigns, of course, his first time ever battle Goldberg taking place 24 hours in Jeddah. How much more dangerous is Roman Reigns now to you than he was 2 years ago?
Well, he's got a hell of a lot more confidence, I believe, which we all know that confidence leads to an extremely worthy adversary. I don't know if there's any doubt in his mind that he can beat anybody and everybody, but it's my job to prove him wrong. So, you know, I'm Goldberg. I once was an extremely dominating figure. I just have to call back upon that guy and bring enough of him to present day to do what I have to do against Roman. And you know, he's an extremely dangerous adversary, and he's one hell of a champion. And it's going to take everything that I have, both presently and in the past, to come to the table and defeat him. So hopefully, you know, the stars align. And, you know, the fact is I'll be in there by myself. He's got the advocate. He's got, you know, the Usos, but I can't sidetrack my mindset. I have to look at him with a target on his face, and I have to go for it and not deviate.
The last time we saw Goldberg compete in a WWE ring, you don't have to look too far in the past. You went one-on-one and defeated the now WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. Now, it's no secret. You've talked about it on the WWE Network and the documentaries of how you sort of needed to get the monkey off your back since returning this last run. You had a few things didn't go as well as you had hoped in the ring, in Saudi Arabia in particular, and you really needed to kind of right the ship. And I don't think anybody would disagree. I know I came on this podcast the week after that match took place, and I said it was one of the best Goldberg matches I've ever seen, period. Not this run, I mean, of all time. And I'm pretty sure, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I told you that on the plane back, because it was a real spectacle. And that has to give you confidence going into it, not only that you had a match of that caliber, but you defeated a guy who is currently the mirror image of Roman Reigns. Roman's the Universal Champion. You beat Bobby Lashley, who's now WWE Champion. That has to give you confidence. But what were you feeling in the wake of that match with Bobby Lashley?
I was feeling ready. I was feeling more ready than I have been in 10 years. We all know that I got double the lead time that I normally do. And in getting that time, I do believe that everyone saw that I have the ability still to be dominant. This time I'm not afforded that. So let me backtrack. I can't thank you enough for the words of confidence that you gave me afterwards, because even though I'm Goldberg, and even though 176-0, and even though I was once an extremely dominant monster in this business, guys like you eloquating your feelings about my performance mean everything to me. So that does give me a hell of a lot of confidence. And I think you see, as everyone else saw, that a confident Goldberg is still someone really not to be messed with. So I've just got to be able to drum that up in the very short period of time I've had to prepare for this. And hopefully let's be honest, the drive to defend your family is pretty freaking deep. Right. Really? So yeah, he brought something out in me that no one's ever seen before. You don't touch my family. I don't care where it is. So he was able to give me the ability to hearken back to that monster and bring him to present day. I think that Roman can do the same thing. I think that the reasoning behind us finally matching up and the duration between original matchup to now, I think that may be enough. I hope that that's enough. And I think the disdain that I have for a guy that treats his family like Roman is treating his family currently, I got to teach this kid a lesson, because to me, he's still a kid. And I don't care if he's got the title or not. I don't care who he has in his corner. I'm here to teach him a lesson. And I'm here to show him that 55 years old ain't nothing to blink your eye at, because once you take your eyes off me, I'm going to drive my shoulder right through your chest. So, man, I'm, 24 hours from now, hopefully I've got that universal title around my waist and I've proved people wrong again. I got to do what I got to do, man. That's all there is to it.
I know you've begun to look at this business differently this time around, so to speak. And you've been very open about how you maybe didn't have the appreciation for the art and the culture of sports entertainment like you do nowadays. I remember talking after the match with Lashley, how at the very end of the match, you speared Lashley off of the stage through a table. Big, spectacular moment. Everyone was on their feet. Really, really incredible ending to that matchup. But it was actually after the fact, after you had made your exit, Bobby Lashley climbed up from the rubble after having just been put through hell by Goldberg. The sight of Bobby having just survived Goldberg. He didn't defeat Goldberg, but survived Goldberg. Would you feel that it's fair to give you a bit of credit in helping elevate Bobby Lashley to that status? Because I don't think anybody watched that and saw Bobby get up and went, oh no. Everyone went, holy, this guy is a badass. This guy just got speared by Goldberg through these tables. And I dare say that moment helped elevate Bobby to the next level. Is that something that you've thought about since then?
You know the answer to that, Corey. That's one of the reasons why I came back. I didn't have the appreciation for the business that I do now back in the day. And I wasn't a giving individual, nor was I a giving character. And your legacy is not necessarily predicated upon what everybody sees. It means a lot to me to be able to come back and do things like that. It's my duty, my honor, and my privilege. And I, as I said, I didn't have the appreciation for it before, but I do now. And I love Bobby. You know, he touched my son and I wanted to kill him in the moment, but I respect him to the nth degree. And I greatly appreciate his trust in me to do what we did, and for him to survive that, that was a special moment, and I'm glad that he got it.
Well, I'm going to ask you to change gears now, because as you look in hindsight at what you and Bobby accomplished together, if you get through Roman Reigns, is it entirely likely that Goldberg will headline another WrestleMania? why should people not look past this matchup? Why is Goldberg still a relevant option and a viable option to headline a WrestleMania, even at the age of 55?
Because of what I just did to Bobby. I personally don't believe there's any other explanation to that. I still have the ability to be extremely devastated. I really do. It may not be for the duration that I used to be, but if you turn your head and you take your eyes off of me, be careful, because I still have it here, and I think I still have it physically to a degree to be able to be an extremely dangerous adversary. So don't look past me because of this gray stuff by any stretch of the imagination, because a mind is an extremely powerful asset. And what I lack physically right now compared to what I had back in the day, I've got up here. And experience means a lot in this business. And I may even be more deadly than I was in the past, because I'm a thinking man now. And before, I used to just go 100% forward, quite obviously. Now I have a game plan. And now I like to think that I'm multidimensional. So be careful what you ask for, Roman, because you never know what you're going to get.
Graves, you bring up a great point about, you know, going to WrestleMania, headlining one more WrestleMania. We could have another headline WrestleMania between Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. And I think that's intriguing to anyone in the world. That's just my personal opinion on that.
Or okay, Goldberg Lashley, which we saw once.
Or Goldberg Lashley. Yes.
Goldberg Rollins. I mean, it could go any number of ways. It's really exciting because this is the road to WrestleMania, and you never know what it's going to look like till you get there.
And you also, I never know, because as it's slated, this is my final match.
So let's talk about that. If we're going to pull back the curtain, this is Goldberg's final match in WWE. This isn't the first time we've seen this scenario, but you want to talk about turning the business upside down. What happens if Goldberg wins the Universal Championship in his last contracted match? Then where do we go? Does Goldberg have interest in still being Universal Champion? Are you going to ride off into the sunset? I mean, this is a really very scary predicament from a business perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I would not ride off into the sunset if I was victorious by any stretch of imagination, because the champion's responsibility is to be there on television and represent it to the nth degree. I would not, if I was victorious, I would not run out of here. I would not hold anybody up. I would not do anything like that, because what the business has given me, I'm not that guy anymore. It does present a very interesting predicament, shall we say. So, and I try not to look past my current adversary. I'll deal with that situation afterwards. But for right now, this is my, you know, this could be the last one. And I've got to go out the right way. So I'm going to try to break Roman's face and every other part of his body so that I can be that Universal Champion.
All right. You've just given me a whole list of questions that I need to ask now. Are you heading into this matchup knowing that it could be your final opportunity with a different mentality than, say, the last match or the match before that? And are you using that as drive? Or is it motivating you in any way to step up your game even more so, seeing as how this could be the last time the WWE Universe gets to see Goldberg in a ring?
It's quite motivating. Let's put it mildly. And to be perfectly honest, my family won't be there. You know, so do I want to go out like that? No, not at all. So there's a lot going through my mind in preparation for this. It's been quite hard to keep my eye on the prize, because I've been derailed mentally a few ways leading to this match. But, you know, man, I take it one step at a time. I really do.
You mentioned your family not being present. That said, we know how much your family means to you in performing in front of them. I mean, you've been very open about Gage being able to see you do what you do and be Goldberg is what's driven you to this point. In your heart, let's take all business out of the equation. In your heart, is Goldberg ready to be done?
No, I'll never be ready to be done. Never, to be honest with you. I mean, it's something you can't, I can't explain it.
Yeah, I don't think you need to explain it. It's in your heart, man. Enough explanation. That was the answer I was hoping for, but I would have been remiss to not ask it.
Once a warrior, always a warrior. You can't take it out of me.
It's not only in what you just said in the answer, Graves. You know, we're seeing this on Zoom, obviously, how we're doing this. I could see it in Goldberg's eyes. And I've seen it this entire interview, and you've said a few things that have caught my eye where you want to turn back the clock and you want to remember you're still freaking Goldberg. And we all know it. Those that have been fans of this industry, like myself and Graves, we know it. I can see it more now. And I don't get to interact with you like Graves does, but I can tell you from sitting over here right now, I can feel it. I hope all those that are listening can hear it and sense it, because it's going to be a clash in Jeddah.
Thank you. Very
absolutely
much. Yeah, man, you guys are gonna get me emotional up here, but
you got me emotional. I'm ready to run through a brick wall. I'm in this stupid farmhouse where, you know, the people I don't even know above me right now that my mom decorates with dead people. I don't even know these people. You got me fired up. I'm ready to tear this house down.
Yeah, it's a conundrum, man. It truly is. It's you know, when have you been there too long? You know, I don't want to tarnish anything. I don't want to insult anybody. I don't want to take a spot that's not mine. But somebody's got faith in me. And I need to reflect upon that and have faith in myself. And, you know, this business, this life, especially during these times, it's not hard to second guess yourself, your decisions. It's you know, hey, man, I ain't going to cry. I ain't going to play a fiddle. I'm not going to go make an excuse. I just got to be me. And if there's enough of me to still do what's asked from me, then, you know, I'm still here. I'm still here. I ain't going anywhere. But, you know, that's a different aspect of the preparation. It's tough not to think about all of that leading up to tomorrow. But I'm human, man. I'm human, and it's an interesting situation.
Well, let's talk more to the human side, Goldberg. I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and we know you got a big match ahead of you. You're also a very busy guy. Every time we do get to interact, you've got seemingly 15 projects in the works. What else is Goldberg busy with beyond preparing for one of the biggest matches of his career?
Well, man, I've been building a monster garage on my property for the last 2 years. COVID killed it.
I think you mentioned that last time we did this. That was your project at the time.
Yeah,
I think so.
That's a dream come true of mine. I mean, I'm a car guy. It is what it is. I mean, that's who I am. Currently, I'm fortunate enough to be on a national commercial for Dodge. That's a dream come true of mine. Hogan picked up the phone and said, "You know, Goldberg, you've never done anything that I was jealous of except for being the Dodge guy."
That's awesome as a
car guy, as a kid, as a fan, that's a dream come true, man. So you know, we've got a car show that's on the cusp of being signed. I'm trying to get this garage done. COVID destroyed it as far as timing is concerned. I have a monstrous weight room that was going to be finished so that I could prep for all my matches, and it looks like it will be completed when I'm retired. But, you know, it is what it is. I ain't going to bitch and moan. There's a lot of people that have been destroyed by COVID, and I'm not going to complain about inconveniences. But, yeah, the car world is where I belong. I've got, you know, NCIS has a spinoff program that we're kind of writing, and I'm going to be part of that. And, you know, we'll see what happens, man. But right now, my focus has got to be on Roman. It's got to be on this business. I'll have fun when I'm done.
Before I let you go, I know you got a ton on your plate. The last clash you had with Bobby Lashley was predicated on him manhandling your son, Gage, who we all know is incredibly important to you. Gage is putting on some size. Gage getting a little bit older. I'm not asking you to give any spoilers here, but what are the odds that someday Gage Goldberg laces up a pair of boots and steps in a WWE ring?
It is highly possible that hopefully will be an option for him. I do believe that it's inbred in him to have the love and passion for sports, the physicality of football, the physicality of playing catcher, and wrestling. They're all the same. You know, it's all about opportunities. I mean, I want him to follow his dream. He's already proven to me and to everybody else that he's already become a better baseball player than I ever can be. So I don't want him to be ever compared against me because it's not fair. He's his own guy. I just want to be able to provide him opportunities and let him make his own choice and get him as prepared as humanly possible for life. You know, that's what it's all about, man. So, yeah, I think it's highly possible. Will the opportunity present itself? Only time will tell.
Well, I guarantee having your old man as a universal champion once again won't hurt any of his opportunities in the future. Bill, I appreciate you taking the time for this. I know you got a lot to get to, some last-minute preparations. Good luck against Roman Reigns, and whatever the fallout may be, I look forward to the conversation on the plane back.
I love you, brother. I appreciate it very much, man.
Anytime. You're always welcome, Goldberg. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Y'all be well.
Vic, after that conversation with Goldberg, man, I got to be honest with you. It's hard to pick what's going to go down in Elimination Chamber. I think I was on Team Roman because Roman's just been so dominant, so ahead of the game. But, and I understand this is an audio podcast, but you mentioned Goldberg's eyes. That entire interview, that's the man. That's Goldberg, and Goldberg's coming for Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I said it, and I mean it wholeheartedly. He's trying to, as he put in his own words, find the Goldberg of the past, chip into something from years ago. It's there inside him. You can hear it in his voice. It's going to be a very interesting night for you in Jeddah at the Elimination Chamber Premium Live event.
I cannot wait to wake up, eat my over-the-top American-style breakfast as I do each and every morning that I wake in the Middle East. It's fantastic. I cannot wait for the showdown between Roman and Goldberg, for the Elimination Chamber, for the WWE Championship, and everything else in between. I hope you're ready, and you can stay ready by following us at After the Bell WWE on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow me at WWE Graves. Follow Vic at Vic Joseph WWE. Listen for free on Spotify. Just search After the Bell. Smash the follow button so you never miss an episode, because we have become essential listening these days. I swear.
True.
And we'll be back next week with more wisdom, more vitriol, more WWE After the Bell.